great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory. And of course, this is talking about Jesus and being vindicated. Truly, what happened was the Spirit of God, you know, the Word says it's the same Spirit that raised him from the dead that lives in us. So that same Spirit is the one. It wasn't Jesus knowing, we took communion Sunday, and knowing who was in that room that was going to betray him. Knowing, right? Knowing that they were going to deny him. Knowing that they were going to scatter. He still made provision because of love. So he didn't vindicate himself. He let the Spirit do it. Anybody in here ever been vindicated from something you did? Yes? Well, I'm going to share a little story with you about vindication, and I think it really fits tonight. God's been faithful to me. There's a lot of things. Let me just say this. Tonight we want to discover what vindication is and what it is not, because a lot of people use the word of God because they want to get somebody. That's not the character of God, so that's not vindication, that's revenge. And we'll just talk about that for a minute. But when Steve and I were at college, and we decided to get married, you know, and I made him wait 2 weeks for me to turn 19, because 18 sounded young. 19 just sounded like I was right on the threshold of 20. And so we got married, and I had just completed my freshman year there at Southwestern. And so we decided that I would take a job there because Steve would get full tuition if I had a job there. So I applied, and I got a job as the assistant to the main bookkeeper for the college. And I did all the payrolls, and I did worked with a lot of accounting, and then we had to reconcile student accounts and close books every month and give reports to the CFO. And so here I am at 19, barely, okay? So I'm going in, and there's women in there that are a lot older than me, and they resented the fact that they had to answer to me. It's just what it is, okay? But I really didn't see it because I just thought I was as with it as they were. But since I was in the third grade, I walked to my dad's store, and he had taught me business and how to do books. And, you know, I'd been around it from licking stamps before they were, I'm old, before they were gummed. You know, you had to lick them and lick the envelopes and all that. And so he started me out there and worked me up. Well, by the time I was ready, I could, you know, close out books and do stuff between that and high school. And my high school accounting teacher, she took us to state because three of us, we could just, you know, we were already knowledgeable. So when I went in to get the job, he said, whatever. And so I showed him, you know, what I'd done. And so he said, well, I'm going to give you a challenge. Let's see how you handle it. Well, I passed everything. And then at the end of it, gave him a recommendation for how to do something better. And he was like, you're the girl. And I was like, thank you. And I was so excited. Well, we moved from there, and because the other girls from financial aid had to answer to me for how they filled out reports and things. One day I was in the restroom, and I heard them talking about me, and I was devastated. So I went into the lady who was the main bookkeeper, and she and her husband had come up the mission field. They'd been on the mission field for years. And I was crying, and her name was Gertrude Jeter. And she used to wear her hair in little pin curls like this. She was adorable. And I was crying, and I didn't want to tell her. And she said, she called her husband. He was teaching a missions class. And she said, you're going to come down here, and we're going to pray over Gay. So he came down. They prayed over me because my feelings were just so hurt. But I didn't want to tell her. So Hugh Jeter was his name. He's written several books on missions and healing. Beautiful man. So he said, now you need to tell me what's wrong with you. So I told the girl, I was in, you know, and I'm just like so immature. And he said, that's good. Get that out. And he said, Gay, don't let them know. And you get that out of your heart. And you treat those women like they are your best friends. And you mean it from your heart. God will vindicate you. So I was like, okay. Well, as it turned out, Steve and I were promoted, and we were dorm directors over the co-ed dorm the next year, and after 3 years, I think, we went over there. So we're running this co-ed dorm, and so the president, his name was Dr. Brummett, he came in, and, you know, I'm just who I am. I worked in the garden with my dad, so our dorm, I said, we need something pretty out here. This Texas and this dust is blowing us around, and I'd like to have hedges all the way up the sidewalk where they go to the Student Union building. And he said, well, if I get the shrubs donated, will you help me? And I was like, sure. So he came out one day, and he had this little tractor, and I got on the tractor with him, and we were planting, you know, these plants and stuff. And then I said, well, could I just have $50 to buy flowers? He's like, sure. So I went out, and I bought flowers, and I planted, and I was feeling so good about myself, and we had the best time. And, you know, so after we were done, I washed the tractor off, because that's what I did for my dad in his garden. So we're in a staff meeting. Yes, I'm going somewhere with this. So we're in an all college staff meeting, okay? It's a university. We're having this big meeting, and they're giving out these awards for different things for people who, you know, long years of service and tenure. And I'm sitting there, and so the department's is giving theirs out. So Dr. Brummett gets up, and he goes, I would just like to say, if I ever had a daughter, I would love for her to be Gay Van Zandt. And I was like, and my first thought was, oh, no, they're going to really hate me now. Do you see how we let other people take our blessing? And you could feel all the eyes go on me, and I was like, don't see him. He goes, oh, yes, little girl. He said, this little Arkansas girl knows how to work, and she gets out there, and she just wants to make things pretty, and it was the sweetest thing. So when it was all over, you know, I was just ready for it. And one of the ladies came up to me, and she said, you know, she said, I owe you an apology. She said, we've got somebody else in there now. They're very demanding. They talk very rude to us. You were always very courteous. And I owe you an apology because we didn't like you. And I, you know, and tears are filling my eyes. And I'm trying, I was like, why didn't you like me? She said, because you were younger and you were in oversight of us. And it was just jealousy. I was like, oh. But I remembered what the CFO had told me. And I remember what Brother Jeter had told me when he prayed over me. Truly love them, and God will vindicate you. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about tonight, is how God vindicates us. And believe me, if you want a guarantee on something, I'm going to give you a couple tonight. I guarantee you trouble will look for you no matter how good you are or how much you love the Lord. There will be people. And if you're not believing me, pick up a paper and read it. No more do people just give courtesy and respect to someone because you're another human being. People want to destroy people. They want to absolutely ruin them. And it's nothing but pure hate when you can't even respect somebody from human to human. Guys, we've got a real problem here, but the good news is nothing is greater than the power of God. So what I want to look at real quick is vindication. I want to explain to you, vindication should be humbling, not boastful. It shouldn't be, you know, if somebody questions, well, the Bible says, touch not God's anointed. I'm God's anointed. You're fixing to get it. It should be humbling, not boastful. And when vindicated, we're to have the character traits, reactions, and gratefulness to God. Those should be our responses. It should be humbling when we're vindicated in something. So I think that because of that, we could be missing many opportunities to represent Christ if we walk in boastfulness or in pride when we've been vindicated. So very quickly, let's talk about what salvation is, what we've studied so far. I thought it was really interesting that Dwayne mentioned Sunday, our deacon on call, that his kids were talking to him about this. What does justification mean? What? And I just wanted to raise my hand and go, listen online. It's all on there. It's all. But I think so many times people think salvation is just your ticket to heaven. There's so many more benefits. And you don't have to pay for it. If you pay for your insurance policy, believe you me, you're trying to you can find more new things and more loopholes in that policy if you study it. But here's some beautiful things that salvation promises us. And I want you to know, I believe if we studied this again next week, we'd have more things that we could discover. Because he is a limitless God. But number one, we studied redemption. These were all out of Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to like 26. Redemption means it's a price paid for full value. And we talked about S&H green stamps or, you know, yellow stamps or whatever they were here in Arkansas. They were S&H. And how you'd go to the redemption center and exchange them for something of value that you couldn't have afforded. Justification means there's no guilt and there's no wrong in God's child. That's important. Those who love him and who call him their father. And we have the example of the Rolls-Royce company, a true story, when the man who bought the Rolls-Royce moved from England to France and had the car taken with him. And when he was there, the car broke down and he called Rolls-Royce. They flew in mechanics who worked on the car. He got back 6 weeks later. He still didn't get a bill. He called Rolls-Royce. He goes, look, I know this is expensive. There's like, what repair? What invoice? And he's like, no, really, you flew. And they're like, sir, this is Rolls-Royce. Because the truth was, they weren't going to admit anything because that's who they were. They make things right. They have the best. So that's like a justification of who we are with him. We don't have to worry. When things break down, it's debt-free. He's coming to help you where you are, and there's no bill for it. Then we talked last week about propitiation. Propitiation is a big word that simply means God has anger over sin, and that anger has to be satisfied with something. So propitiation, in a legal term, you could probably do this better than me. But in legal terms, if somebody's mad at you, if they got a bad deal, and they're just angry, they're going to take you to court, they're going to sue you. They want propitiation. They want something to settle that anger and that misjustice, injustice, injustice. It's some kind of bad justice, okay? So what happens is he comes in with propitiation. And the sacrifice of Jesus has satisfied his anger against sin. There's nothing I can do to satisfy the anger God has over sin. But notice, it never says the anger God has towards the people. It's always the sin. And remember this, Satan is a king over a kingdom too. He's been set up as the prince of darkness, right? He's been set up in that kingdom, but he is already defeated, and so God's just letting him get enough of himself, and he's going to come back and take care of us. While we're here, we're still provided for, because God hates what sin does to our lives. And that's going to bring us to the last point, and that's vindication. Vindication is to clear us from an accusation or impute someone, a suspicion or the like, is in the case of vindicating someone's honor whose name and reputation has been slandered or false accusations have been made against them. So truly, false accusations are made against us every day. False and true. If we blow it, you know, we sin, we get angry, then the first thing the enemy wants to do is come in and make you feel guilty for that. Ooh, look what you did. So we're forgetting about all the benefits of salvation. We're forgetting that we can go to the Father at any time and say, clear this debt off my shoulders. Yes, God, I failed. I missed the mark. But Lord, I don't want that to be a reflection on you. Lord, vindicate me. Help me, God. Clear my heart. Give me that fresh relationship with you, because all sin can do to a believer, all sin can do to a believer is put you right back in God's care. It cannot have power over you when we return to the Lord, when we go back to him. So, yeah, when Leah Evans was little, she took a black Sharpie marker, and she decided to take it all over Connor, her little brother, who was a year younger than her. And she took it to Connor, and she took it to the tile floor, and she took it to a little stuffed animal. But she didn't do it herself. So Charity comes in. She's like, Leah, what have you done? She's like, oh, this floor, you know. So she's trying to clean the tile floor from the Sharpie marker, you know, gets on, Googles it, hairspray, whatever, gets it up. And there's Connor just smiling with all this, you know, black Sharpie all over him. So she's like, you are in big trouble. So she's laughing about it, really. She takes a picture, she sends it to us and whatever. So Steve's like, please don't be hard on her, you know, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah. So Charity, she's with me on this. So Charity goes in and she's like, you know, we're going to have to deal with this. And Leah, I just want you to know, you're going to get a spanking. Tell me the truth. Did you do this? And she said, no. She said, Leah, do not lie to me. Did you do this? And she said, no. Leah, then who did it? And she goes, doodad. Well, that's Steve. And so Charity's like, Leah, you're in big trouble because you've lied. So she said, I'm going to call doodad. So she calls Steve. Dad, I'm here with Leah, and she says that you have written all over Connor and on the floor and with this stuffed animal. And Steve says, I sure did. And she goes, Dad. She goes, Dad. And Leah's just like, so, she's so happy. And she said, Dad, I told Leah to tell me the truth. She's going to get a spanking. He said, Charity, I did it. And if you want to spank me, you sure can. And Leah was so proud. So Charity was so upset with him. And he said, Charity, you need to understand something. That's what mercy and grace is all about. I'll take her punishment because I love her that much. Well, you would think that would be her license to do whatever. But Steve told her. He said, Leah, I know you did it. And he said, but this is how God loves you. And he explained it. We never had any more problems with the markers. Now, she did flush Jordan Langford's keys down the toilet one time, but that was an entirely different incident. But, yeah, just remember, she was three. But that's how kids do, right? But I love that story because that is the truth about how the Father sees it. When the enemy comes to him with accusation against you, whether you did it or not, oh, you're giving me a license to sin? No, I'm telling you that we will miss the mark. Is there anybody in here who would argue that point with me and just say, oh, I know the word, and I'll tell you, I've overcome that flesh. Because you're going to write a book, and I'm getting part of your money. Because I'm just telling you, it's really not there. But here's how I see this. We come in, and we know that we have redemption, we have justification, we have propitiation, and we have vindication. I'm going to bust some of your scared bubbles here tonight. But you know, we have these cute little things, and we want things that we do to be cute, right? Well, we come in, and you all know what this is, right? It's a what? Umbrella. So I'm going to use this tonight to show you about God's love. So this is how I see it. I think that the handle to everything God does is love. And it's something that we can hold on to, right? And underneath this covering of this umbrella, we are covered by justification, redemption, propitiation, and vindication from all the fallout that's around us. But what is it that powers that? What was it that powered it if the handle's love? Do you know? Because I think it was the will of the Father. He had to allow his son to come, and Jesus had to say, I'll lay down what I want to do because I love you. But if I'm going to take hold of what he's done, I have to love him. And when you love somebody, are you intent to go against them? Are you intent to make them mad? Are you intent to see, well, let's just see how much I can get away with? Yeah. Any marriage like that won't last very long, would it? But no, when you love someone, you want to do the things that please them, and it does hurt your heart when you don't. And even if we get proud or we get boastful or we get hardened by life, at the end of the day, it's love that still returns us, and it's love that covers us. Because here's the thing. With my kids, if my kids did something, I'll deal with them, but don't you talk about them. You with me? I can handle that. But you don't talk about my kids because we want to believe the best for our kids. I'll deal with it, but let me deal with it because we don't need the extra talking. So I see that he's covering us from the fallout of the world that we live in. So what is vindication and what is it not? I see that vindication removes guilt because there's an accuser. He's coming after you the minute you mess up. And he's going to tell you, whether it's you or someone else you love, oh, that'll never change. Look at that. Give up hope. Or, ooh, point that out. Or wouldn't you feel better about yourself if you tell the truth on them and make you look good? All those things. Vindication, guys, removes guilt. And I put in there, it's the shut-upper. Let God be your shut-upper. This is what he is. He goes to the accuser, and he shuts up the mouth of the devourer because, as Steve always says, when he looks at you, right, when God is looking at you, he doesn't see you. He sees Jesus. And when he looks at Jesus, he saw the sin. That's where it went. But when he looks at you, he sees Jesus and atonement, the sacrifice once and for all. That's what vindication is. Vindication is to teach us to rely on God more. When I'm hurting, when I'm mistreated, when I'm falsely accused, and doesn't the Bible say those things are going to happen? He says you're going to be persecuted because of me. So this causes me to rely on God more. Vindication is something that remedies fear, because the more I go through something, the more I learn I can trust him. And I'm not there, okay? Don't have me on a pedestal. Let me just admit it to you. I feel like I'm getting better on some things and doing it because I know I can't trust my outcome because I can't make things work for good, but he can. I shared that story with you before, but I want you to hear me tonight because I think it's important. I looked at things that are ahead of me, and there's just things sometimes, does God ask you to do things, and you're just like, I kind of want to do that. Please don't, why would you even ask me to do, I don't want to do that, right? And I was like, God, A, I'm too old for this. Like, I'm telling God what's wrong with his plan. You hearing me? I'll admit it. I'm too old. B, I know it's. I'm going to have to pay a price for this, and I don't want to pay a price. I don't want any trouble. I don't want to have to climb any mountains. I don't want to have to ford any streams. You know, God, come on. And I just started crying. I was feeling real good and sorry for myself. And the Lord said to me, I see a mountain for my, you see a mountain, but I see a monument for my glory. You're going to make it. That's going to be a monument for my glory. And I'm telling you, this has changed my focus, because when I feel that I need to be vindicated, and listen, vindication can be one-on-one with you and God when you're telling him how it shouldn't be. I don't think I can do this. Doesn't your word say you won't give me more than I can bear? Well, I think you've hit the limit with me. What are we doing except walking in fear and doubt? But here's what comes in with vindication. It causes me to rely on God more, and it remedies my fear, because when you've walked through enough things with him, you realize that though you thought it was going to crush you and kill you, God is going to prove himself faithful to you, and that's going to cause you the next time something comes up to say, Lord, I don't want to do this, but if you're allowing it, I'm going to go through it, because we're going to show the devil one more time that it's not about me, it's about you, and Dad, you get over there and deal with him, because I don't have the strength, I don't have the wisdom, and I don't have the power, but I need you to give me the peace, and he will. Vindication also releases that faith. There's a measure of faith in every one of us. But when we see that God is truly the one who's taken up for us, that you don't have to be right, that you don't have to have all the answers, that you don't have to do everything just perfect, it releases a faith in him, because my weakness shows me my need for dependence. And the need for dependence increases my faith, because I can tell you right now, I believe there's nothing he puts me through that is not going to better me and all of you. I believe this. Vindication is forgiveness. You want to vindicate somebody? You want to vindicate a situation? Forgive them. Unforgiveness is only holding us back. It's not holding them back. To truly vindicate yourself, forgive them. Because that's when the power of God is unleashed over your life and you have that freedom. Because didn't he say, what you hold against somebody else, I'll hold against you? Because I'm full of mercy and grace. And I'm telling you, it may not be easy, but the only thing that's dying is my flesh. Because once it's done, I feel so relieved. They lose the power over me. Because they lied, they hurt me, they whatever. And even if it's just me with God, sometimes I think we need vindication because somebody got away with something. It's not even that they attacked you. You just feel that they got away with something I didn't. That ain't fair, God. You know why? Because he can trust you with more. Because we're learning that when we remove that guilt, when the mouth of the enemy is shut, when we rely on God more, when he remedies our fear, when we release that faith, there's a freedom and a victory that comes, whether it comes to anybody else or not, it'll come to you. Vindication is not motivated by any human emotion to get even. Oh, vindicate me, oh God. There's this edge, right? You know the difference when somebody's coming to you with an edge. I don't know how else to describe it. But there's something in them that they're happy you're getting in trouble. That's not vindication from God. You know what that is? That's hatred. When you're happy to see somebody hurting, that's hatred. It's the opposite of God. Vindication is not manipulation of a situation. Well, I'll show them. I'm going to go in and put this over there, and if they take it, I'm going to let everybody know. I think I'll put a little recorder in here. I think I'll put a little video cam in here. I think I'll get 4 people to agree with me, and we'll nitpick them till we get them to leave and quit working here. Whatever the situation is, guys, that is not vindication. If I have to have manipulation, it's not God's vindication. And vindication is not my place. That's not my place to get even with somebody. Well, Gay, you can be treated really unfair. Sure can, sure have, and sure will. I've already told you, it's going to happen to every one of us. People are going to be jealous of something God's done in your life, and they're going to want a piece of it. I call them, well, Steve and I kind of call them Hoovers, because they just want to suck the life out of you because they don't have one. If you got joy, they just want to hook up to you and suck the life out of you. You know what I'm talking about? You have a blessing. You got some money, something wonderful. God paid it off. Well, how come they got something? They're over there. Well, you know, we don't have anything, and they're wanting to Hoovers, right? Because they don't feel sorry for these people, honestly, because they don't know to go to God. But you and I, it's not our place to vindicate ourselves. It's up to him. Vindication is not a debt that's owed to you by any man on earth. There's no debts. Freely you've received, freely give. When people come to that door, and they're like wanting money, you know, and there's always a story. And I don't like the story because it don't give God the glory. But, you know, they like to tell the story. And listen, I'm all about knowing when somebody needs to pour out. And when I've heard the third, my grandfather died, and I've got to get to San Antonio, and I need $15 bus fare. If you hear that story about three times, you're pretty sure somebody's lying, right? Because you know they're not kin to each other. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, this is how I'll handle that. I don't use the church's money for that. There have been times where I felt like we needed to get in petty cash and help somebody. But generally, what I'll do is say, I'll go to my wallet, if I feel the Lord leading, and I'll say, here's what I've got. Oh, I'm going to pay you back on Friday. I'm going to bring this. That frustrates me more than anything. Because they don't mean it. They know how to play the game. And to me, I don't want to be vindicated by, oh, Lord, look at all these people. Here I am doing your work. No. If he's blessing me and the Spirit moves, I should give it. And that's what I tell them. I'm going to give you this money. No, I'm going to bring it back Friday. Really, I am. And they act all indignant, you know, like they're really mad at me. And I'm like, look, I don't want to make a liar or a thief out of you or me. So I'm going to give it to you. If you have integrity and you want to bring it back, I will be so grateful, but you'll be the first one. Oh, well, you know, I'm going to. Yeah. Annette, Leslie, has anybody ever paid us back? No? I didn't think so either. But here's my point. If you give to people, you don't have to be vindicated. It's a gift. Free them, free you. Right? Did somebody take something from you that was wrong? Whether it's your reputation, right? Whether it was money, whether it was a piece of land, whether it was they took from you respect and honor. Can I just tell you, give it to them. Give it to them because you're giving it to God. Not you marking it off the list. I know there's some of you in here who know exactly what I'm talking about. And until you forgive and release it and say, I give it, it's going to eat your lunch. Because every time you see them, that same boiling blood syndrome comes up. Guys, that's manipulation, not vindication. So here's the thing about vindication. It can happen with our past sins. I need to be vindicated for what I've done. There's got to be an atonement for that. So he's vindicating me from the enemy accusing, stirring up strife in my mind. He vindicates me from my past sin. He vindicates me from my current failings. Because, you know, sin does just mean miss the mark. I'm not talking about people who say, I'm going to go to church, but here's what I'm really going to do. But, you know, I got to make myself look good or whatever it is. Guys, God knows our hearts, but you're the one who's suffering when you play both sides of it. So past sin, my current failings. And here's the thing. My current failings could be the blood boiling, and I just got to get back under the umbrella. The handle is love. Love God. Put your will down. Right? Unless you're in line with the will of Jesus, you don't have coverage. All right? You ever get blown away, your umbrella, or turn inside out? You don't want that to happen. So, the third thing is I want you to know, how am I vindicated? Sometimes I just need to wait. It's just a matter of timing and waiting. Why? Because God is doing a work in my life to mature me. It's not, when somebody does something wrong, guys, vindication is not just about them. It's about me, too. Because I want to grow and learn. And if I've been praying, God, help me get closer to you. God, I want to know you more. What a better opportunity than when I've been hurt and it causes me to dig deeper in the Word or climb up into his lap and say, I just don't have an answer. The fourth thing I see about vindication is, whether it's falsely by others or not, whatever's happening around me that I have nothing to do with, he's still going to protect me. I'm still his kid. So I'm not going to suffer a loss if I'm waiting on God, except these things. Here's your loss. Here's what you suffer a loss on when you're waiting on God and trusting in him for vindication. You're going to lose pride. They backed me up on this. Did y'all hear that? Yes, yes. You're going to lose fear because now you face the worst thing you thought that could happen. You're going to lose doubt because he's going to start releasing faith in you. God, if you can get me through that, God, if you can get Pete through that, then there's hope for me. See, it's not just about us. Other people are watching us to see who God really is. And that's a matter of us trusting him for this part of his salvation. It is vindication. Don't be happy when somebody gets it. Because the way you measure it out, it'll come back. Don't be happy. Pray for people. That's what the word says. In Deuteronomy 32, 36, it says, "The Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, whether bond or free." You know what that means? He doesn't move until everybody's quiet. When you're done, I'll help. Are you done? Here I come. That's what he's saying. So is God waiting on me? Yeah, he's waiting on me. And sometimes I have to check how old I am today with God. You know what I mean? Sometimes I'm just a baby. That's not right. You took my toy. Right? Sometimes I'm just a baby. I literally see myself like this. Sometimes when I'm dealing with people, I think, and I use this phrase with Steve this week, I was like, are we still in middle school? Are we back in junior high? What is wrong with these people? If you don't like me, that's not the end of my day. Right? Amen? And set yourself free. Sometimes I see myself as a toddler. I'm like, God, I'm trying to get over this whole bump. God, I'm going to try again. Oh, God. And then the enemy goes, see, you can't do that. You blah. You just think you. But I keep getting up because what's happening is every time I fall, I'm getting strength in my faith muscles. They're developing something new inside of me in a place where there was weakness that I was unaware of. God is strengthening something in me through adversity. Yeah. So I don't mind being a toddler, God, if I know that you're standing there and you're going to, and I can run to you. It may not be pretty, God, and I tell him that. I see Forrest Gump in my mind so many times when I'm running to God. But God, just get closer because I'm afraid of failing. Can you be that honest with God? We should be. God, I'm afraid. I just can't get over this thing. What is wrong with me? This is the stumbling block to me. And it's like us with our children. Every time they kept getting up, you got more excited than they did. Come on, you can do this. Woo, look, there's four more. Look, there they go. Right? But there'll be something else in my life that I'll be a toddler over. There'll be some things that I'm a teenager about. It's going to happen. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's going to happen. And drama. I'm so sick of drama. I'm so sick of drama. And there's a healer. And he doesn't just heal disease. He heals the need for drama. And I'm thankful for that, yes. So whatever age I am, I don't see a dad who rejects me. I see a dad who says, come on, we're going to get through this. And next week, maybe you'll get in the car and drive, you know. But right now, I got the wheel. Okay, let's have an adventure. You do this for me, God. Because remember, all things should glorify him. This is a time for God to arise and shine. I'm saying this more and more because it's like a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to my soul spine, if you will. But I feel like when I just begin to say, all glory to God. All glory to God. What I'm getting in agreement with is, Lord, you see what I see, whether any of you see it or not. My weak faith, my fear, my doubt, and why do I? Except I'm just trapped in this human blob, right? But here's the thing. I want to trust him more. So while I'm telling this to you, I want you to see when I say all glory to God, it's correcting me and giving other people the opportunity to see, you know what, something beautiful is going to come out of this. God, I'm going to trust you for this. Now, I'm ashamed, and many of you are, over the things that are going on in our nation. And Diane, I've bragged on you for your prayer request because it was the right way to give a prayer request. You didn't say, vindicate us and kill those people, God. You said, Lord, we pray for these babies and we pray for forgiveness for these people who've made these decisions. That's how a believer ought to want to see something vindicated. Because you know what? Your hate is only going to fuel theirs. Your hate is only going to feed something in you that is the flesh and it is not the spirit. But hey, this is really wrong. This is bad. I know it. I've read the scriptures on the innocent bloodshed crying out from the ground. And God says it will be, he will take vengeance on it. But I also know that according to Lot, he says, if you will keep believing in me, I will spare you the destruction. And guys, we've got to stay focused on what God says, whether anybody else goes with us or not. Because God wants to provide for his people. And he's always going to have a people. His people are not marked by unbridled rage and hatred. They are marked by our higher voice that can overcome the flesh. There's going to come a time when no one's going to be rescued from God's powerful hand. And don't look forward to that day like, y'all got yours. Right? Let's pray for those people that God will spare them, that they will wake up to what's happening. I want to look at Noah for just a minute. In Genesis 6:16, there was only one door to that big ark, but Noah was allowed to put in a window. I want you to know, God shut the door, not Noah. God shut that door. And man is not going to be in control over the acts of God, because he's a door that no man can open. And I want you to know that the window, I believe, was to let the light in. And so that we could pursue the light. Because he's the light of the world and he's going to light my path. But you have to, sometimes you have to pursue that by your actions. And I believe that there must have been some kind of a deck. I didn't look at the measurements or check it. But you know, he went out and released the dove, right? So there must have been some kind of a place there that was prepared for that, to launch that dove. But you notice what there wasn't? There wasn't a back door, and there wasn't an emergency door. Emergency doors were created by men to make a way out in trouble. And God says, Jesus, you're the door. You're the door. There's only one way to me, and it's going to be you. And I'm grateful there's only one way, because out of the one way, the enemy's made 135 false ways. But here's the problem. Sometimes we want to get in the broad road, and we want to get in agreement with public opinion on something, because we love people, right? We don't want to hurt their feelings. Or maybe the fact is, I don't want to be rejected for my opinion. So I'm just really, I think that's the difference in the broad road and the narrow road. Because other people are going to make an escape route for you and for them. And it's a narrow road. But the reason it's narrow is because there's just one way. And the reason it's narrow is because I recognize that my sin, my missing the mark. People say, oh, don't, you know, sin sounds so mean. Guys, I want you to hear me. We all fail. We all fall short. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory. But if I stay focused on Him getting the glory out of my failure, it becomes a victory and a place of marked victory for His glory and not a place for me to boast or brag. It's a good place to be. So, yeah, man created the emergency exit because of things we fear. If you've got a plan B, shut the door. Seal the thing up and start trusting God. And here's the last thing I want to talk to you about. I just think we need to keep it simple, saints. That's your kiss. Keep it simple. Just begin to trust God for these things. Begin to ask Him to show you what it is. Because here's my application. Am I missing an opportunity to show somebody else what God can do because I keep all the plates spinning? Am I missing an opportunity to show somebody else what trusting God can do when I walk through a hard situation without all the answers, without having to look good, without having everybody to like me, but staying faithful to what He said and hurting for people who are in sin? Not gloating, not joying, not pointing out their faults, but just loving and praying, God, please, God. Guys, people are deceived. You and I get deceived in sin. We love things that are hurting us, right? And so we should feel compassion for those people and pray for them, because somewhere they were taught to mistrust God. But you and I are missing an opportunity to show them the power of trusting God. Because He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If I don't have to worry about what people are going to say about me, because all I care about is what He says about me. Okay, are you sure? No, not every day. Some days I cry over what people say about me. They don't like me. And He comes and picks me up like a child and holds me. He didn't go, you should be older than this by now, gay. Yesterday you were an adult. Today you're a big old baby and you need your diaper changed, right? But He doesn't, because He knows where there's injuries in my soul too. He is a merciful Father. And if Steve could do that for Leah and mean it, what do you think God could do for you and me and mean it? Because that's His kid. You're His kid. You're not the spawn of Satan. You're the children of the Most High God, and He wants to vindicate us. You know, even Moses pointed out after he couldn't go into the Promised Land, and everybody be like, that's so wrong. Look at all he suffered. But he disobeyed God. Even Moses went back and said, that's on me. That's not on him. Aaron and I, we knew better. And God showed us better. But I let me get the better. But you know what he did when he did that? He released himself from the guilt and he vindicated God. Here's what I think we're missing. I think salvation's a two-way street. I want God to be vindicated. I want people to know that my mistakes are mine. They're not God's. But I want people to know that when I make mistakes, He is a redeemer. He is a justifier. He is a propitiator. Because people, there's haters. There's haters. But guys, their hate is never going to be satisfied. You've got to give it to God. Because if you don't, you're going to get burned up with them. And then I'm going to vindicate. I want to vindicate His reputation because of what He's done for me. God doesn't need me to do it. Does He need me to be His vindicator? No, but like Moses, I want people to know where I failed, it wasn't Him. That was on me. But if I fall, I want to fall trying to please Him rather than please people. And you've got to make up your mind, because that's where your battle starts. You've got to make up your mind that you're going to let God be your vindicator. And vindication is an indication of your salvation. With me? So next week, I want to talk about God's love to affirm us in salvation. That's what it was all about, his love. Because next week is February 13th. You know what that is, the day before Valentine's Day. You know I love that day. And I have a little prize for everybody coming to church. So if you want to swap Valentine's next week, I'm all over it. Let's just have a love feast. But here's what I want you to do. This week, I'm asking you, God be my vindicator. And if you've got a mental list of people you cannot forgive, then you show me what you can do to get God to forgive you. Because that's going to be on the list. Forgive them. And I want us to release our souls and leave vindication up to God, whatever it is. People withheld money from you. They stole from you. I want you to know, I believe God can keep your car running longer. I believe God can cause your utilities to go down. I believe God is creative in how he can provide for you, and it don't have to just be green in your wallet. He can do it. Let's start thinking this week, to God be the glory. Oh, we need a new roof on this church. To God be the glory. How are you going to do that, Lord? To God be the glory. This is exciting. He's going to start helping us. Yeah, right? So I want you to believe that. This week, try to use that phrase in to God be the glory. They treat you like junk, that restaurant. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Because we are persecuted for his name's sake, we're blessed. And you're representing him. You're not just Christina there. You're the daughter of the Most High God. And whether people know that or not, he knows it. And he's going to take care of us. Amen? Would you stand with me tonight? You know, I have a reputation. And I don't want people marring my reputation, but they're going to. When you cross people, they'll find something wrong. I've told you all that. My hope is that instead of looking for something wrong, we'll look for something right. That's my hope. Instead of looking for something wrong in your spouse, try to find something right. Instead of looking for something wrong in your children, find something right and begin to praise them to where they no longer carry the burden of what's wrong, but they rise up in what they can do right. Father, tonight, I want you to help me, God, to be a better example of you. I know I'm a baby, and I know some days I get it right, but I want to thank you that you're not a fickle father, but you're a faithful father. God, release right now vindication over the sins that I've committed through the blood of Jesus, so I don't keep carrying that same old rejection and fear to go in front of you and to call for help because of what I've done. Vindicate me on my past sin, yes. Vindicate me, God, on these weaknesses I'm struggling so hard with. Help me, God. Vindicate me, oh God, in this flesh that I can override the accusations. And God, vindicate the kingdom of God. Lord, show your power and save and set free from the power of the enemy. Vindicate our world from his lies and his darkness. Arise and shine, O God, that you'll get the glory. We love you tonight and we trust you for that, Father. We love you and we trust you, oh God, and we thank you for it. Just begin to thank him. To God be the glory. Hey, this mess, to God be the glory. Hey, this wound, this open sore, to God be the glory. Because I'm going to have a testimony. And it's going to have your name and your fingerprints all over it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I've got a couple little sign-up sheets in the foyer. We're going to have a work day on Saturday the 23rd. Is that right? Or the 26th? Whatever Saturday is, it's on the sign-up sheet. So if you want to help with that, let us know. We're also going for a baby shower for Caleb Binion this Sunday. If you guys want to carpool or follow us in your car over, let us know. Sign up so we'll know who we're waiting on Saturday. And I think that's all I have right now. Oh, Friday night, girl movie night. Woo, woo. Don't tell me that old movies are all in black and white. Red? Girl, you just messing with me now. It's a color movie. It's called Rear Window. It's an Alfred Hitchcock movie. And Grace Kelly wears the most beautiful clothes and jewelry. So I like that. Anyway, it'll keep our interest. But it's 50 cents. If you want to dress like the 50s, do it. We're going to have a popcorn, gourmet popcorn bar with all the stuff and some drinks. It's going to be fun. And we've got a VIP section that Angela's made for very important people. It's going to be fun. Amen. Love you. Good night.